Welcome to the Hillside Church Sermon Podcast. We're thrilled to have you join our community. Each week, Pastor Brad, our pastoral team, or our guest speakers bring the Bible's timeless truths to life, offering messages that are not just inspiring, but deeply relevant to your daily journey. Whether you're joining us in Airdrie or tuning in from anywhere around the world, we hope these sermons encourage you, strengthen your faith, and help you feel more connected to Jesus and to us. Thanks for being part of our Hillside family. Let's grow together in faith and love. As family, we go.
But I wanted to preface our time together with a bit about the style of sermon that I will be using today. Often, Pastor Brad will tell you to turn to a book of the Bible. Like the last few weeks, we've been talking from Philemon, which you could go and search in your Bible and find the book of Philemon, albeit maybe a little difficult to find the book of Philemon because it's in a weird spot and it's hard to find. But today I'm going to talk about more of a topic. We're going to discuss what the Bible has to say about worship. And I can't tell you to turn to the book of praise and worship because there isn't one. I mean, we're going to talk a lot about from the Psalms, and we're going to look into that, but it's probably not helpful to go to the Psalms because there's a lot of them and we're going to jump around a lot. But if you've got a paper Bible today, I wish you luck. We're going to look at a lot of scripture today. It'll be on the screen, so if that's more helpful for you, then it'll be up there. But as you can imagine, the Bible talks quite a significant amount about what God expects our worship to look like, as he is a holy God and he expects our worship to look in a certain way. There's an entire book of Leviticus of what the Israelites' worship was supposed to look like. The entire book is dedicated to their worship of him. And our expression of worship is expected to be a certain way. But you'll often hear that worship is supposed to be more than what we just did. It's supposed to be more than singing. And while that is absolutely correct, you can worship Jesus with a whole lot more than music. You can worship Jesus through many more things than just song. That's not what we're going to talk about today. If you want, I'm happy to sit down and have that discussion. I'm happy to sit with you and discuss what worship through other means looks like. I've got lots of other fantastic ideas for you. Just not right now. The second thing we'll have to talk about before we get into worship expression is kind of like the topic before the topic. It's the prequels to the original trilogy. It's The Hobbit to The Lord of the Rings. Sorry, my nerd came out a little bit there. Before we can talk about what biblical expression of worship looks like, I'm going to need to tell you that the Bible actually demands that our worship has expression. We can't sit and call this worship. We can't do it. Every single one of the Greek and Hebrew words used in the Bible for praise and worship is an action word. All of them. There's not one of them that allows you to sit back and call it worship. All of them demand action. They're all action verbs in everyone that's used. They compel us to do. They compel us to express praise and worship to God in some fashion, depending on what the word means and how it's used. If we look at 1 Peter 2, verse 9, it says, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. So I don't know about you, but a declaration is an action, right? I can't like sit back and, so I do declare. It is a declaration of praise. There isn't an option. Peter tells us that we are God's chosen people, that we are called to declare God's praises for what he has done, which in this context is calling us from darkness and into light, which I honestly can't see why I wouldn't declare his praises for that. So when I know my Savior, who has paid my debts, the infinite God of ages who chose to make my heart his home, to heal my brokenness, to reveal his glory into creation, which is me, then he is worthy to receive my praise for who he is, for what he has done, what he will do. And it will never feel like a demand for my attention. It will never feel like a demand for my expression, because my eyes are on Jesus, who is the author and finisher of my faith. So as we dive into these expressions that the Bible talks about of praise and worship, I invite you to see these phrases as come, let us sing to the Lord, or come, let us worship and bow down, not just as invitations, but also as commands, because that's what they are. So when you see shout to the Lord as you read your Bible, when you see come, let us sing to the Lord, let us clap our hands, come, let us bow down before his feet. When you read that, you say, okay, there's something I need to do here, because I'm being commanded by the Lord in his word, in scripture, that this demands a response from me. It's not just, oh, that's nice, but it demands response. It demands expression. So as we look into this morning, we're not going to look at an exhaustive list this morning. We did have a hike to get to. We don't anymore. I guess. Okay, let's go. Let's look at an exhaustive list this morning. No, I'm just kidding. But as we keep digging into this topic, I encourage you, when you encounter it in scripture, maybe it compels you to action. As the Lord draws you in and you read, maybe you need to respond instead of just, oh, I read it, I saw it, but it compels you to respond instead of maybe the ones that we didn't dive into this morning. So we're going to start with perhaps the most obvious expression of worship, of praise this morning, singing. There are literally hundreds of instances in scripture of commands where we are told to sing to the Lord. So I wouldn't get very far if I was to read them all for you. If you want to read them all, you could just do a search on your phone or app or something and go sing, and you would get hundreds of commands or expressions of singing to the Lord. But here are a few that I will list off for you. First one is from Isaiah 12:5, where it says, sing to the Lord, for he has done glorious things. Let this be known to all the world. Or Psalm 96:2, where it says, sing to the Lord, praise his name, proclaim his salvation day after day. Pastor Lori will often come up here when she does the welcome, and she'll say that she sits up front and hears us singing so loudly, because she sits up front and hears everyone singing behind her. I'm proud to say that we do this well as a church. We sing. We glorify the Lord through our singing. And I know some of us don't feel this way. We feel that maybe we don't have that quality of voice, that we can't sing, or someone said something in the past, or we feel embarrassed by our voice. As I was preparing, and thinking about this moment, I felt strongly that the Lord was saying, something, and for those of us that feel that we can't sing or we don't have a good voice, he said that we don't sing because we can do it well. We sing because he is good and he is worthy of our praise. So I'm going to make sure you hear that, so I'm going to repeat it. So we don't sing because we can do it well. We sing because he is good and he is worthy of our praise. So as we... Yeah, and I mean, they're making my point for me. I couldn't say it better than that. Because I mean, the next point in my notes, I love hearing my kids sing. Singing worship songs or even stuff like Forrest Frank, that's what they're singing upstairs. And that song, you may not classify it as a worship song, but that song is a worship song. And it is like a hip hop Christian rap song. That is a worship song upstairs, because he is definitely praising Jesus with his words upstairs. And hearing Levi and Seth in the back seat of my car declaring the praise of Jesus, I mean, there is nothing like it. Are they in tune all the time? No. Does it matter? No. Is Jesus being glorified through them? You better believe it. I mean, Matthew 21:16 talks about how praise comes from the mouth of children and infants. Singing is not about calling attention to ourselves. That's not the goal. It's not about, am I good enough? It's about the fact that Jesus is good and he has done great things, and so we sing. And we need to keep in mind who our audience actually is. It's not about the people around us. It's not about drawing attention. It is our Father who is our audience, and so we sing. I mean, speaking of dads, mine taught me how to play acoustic guitar when I was 13. He lent me his guitar and this like spiral bound chord book. I mean, this is in the days before internet. I'm dating myself here, but it had these charts on it that had the end of a guitar, and then you would bend your fingers all weird. I mean, that's how it felt back then when I was 13. Now it's like, oh yeah, this is really easy because I've practiced and played. I loved it. I didn't want to give that guitar back. I mean, he probably got super annoyed because it wasn't very long before they bought me my own guitar so he could have his guitar back because I kept stealing it. But this set me on a path of learning and growing, and I mean, this is where I am today because he lent me his guitar and taught me a few chords. And now, a lot of years later, I'm not going to give you a number, he set me on this path to learn and to grow, and the Lord used that in me to bring me to a place where I am today. And that brings us to our next expression of worship, which is worship through instruments. We can see specifically in the Bible a lot of times throughout the reign of David, where David worshiped through instruments so much. David was our main guy for instruments in the Bible. He worshiped through all sorts of different instruments. He calmed Saul, the king at the time, through instruments. He wrote a significant portion of the book of Psalms, probably way more than we even have recorded in the book of Psalms, because being a musician myself, there's a lot that doesn't end up anywhere that anybody sees, so I'm sure that happened for David too. But as well as that, God actually specifically prescribed instruments for the use in the temple, in the sanctuary. 1 Chronicles 25:6, also includes clashing cymbals, so go drums if you ever need to convince somebody that drums are good. the Bible does say go drums, clashing cymbals, let's go. But what I specifically love about musical instruments is that they continue to play a role even to the end of days, is that we are given a glimpse into what heaven looks like in Revelation. And in Revelation 14 and 15, we see this beautiful picture of heaven and the throne room. And we see that the saints are worshiping Jesus with harps and singing. And we see that they are praising the Lord with instruments. And it's just a beautiful picture of throughout all of time, instruments will be used to praise the Lord. We can also use instruments as a help for focusing in our worship. So often I will use instrumental worship music or just instrumental music in general to help myself focus in on the Lord during my prayer times or during my Bible reading. Sometimes I get so distracted so easily. I'll just, my brain goes a mile a minute, or I'll just be trying to like, okay, dear Jesus, man, what am I doing today? And be like, I'm just gone. So for me, I'll put my earbuds in and I will just set on some instrumental music, and suddenly I'm just in the zone. I'm focused on the Lord and what he's trying to say to me and what I'm trying to express myself to him. And even we see this scripturally, is that we see the prophet Elijah, he is asked to come and prophesy for the king of Israel and the king of Judah, and he doesn't want to do it. He's like, I don't like the king of Israel. He's not my guy. He's not following the Lord. He's not doing what I think he should be doing. But fine, I'll do it for Jeroboam. I respect Jeroboam. I'll do it for him. But his response to them is in 2 Kings 3:15. He says, "Now bring me a harpist." And while the harpist was playing, the hand of the Lord came on Elijah. And for what we see here is that Elijah didn't want to do it. He wasn't in the right headspace, but he's like, I know I need to do this. And so he's like, bring me a harpist. And so the harpist starts playing and the hand of the Lord comes upon him. And we can see that he's able to focus on what the Lord is telling him because of the music. And so he brings that help of the focus of the music in to help him prophesy because of that music. Music is powerful. It is captivating. And it can be a catalyst for change and breakthrough when we use it to glorify the Lord. It is a simple but powerful thing that we can use to help us focus in on Jesus. Another simple but powerful thing is actually a physical act that we can do. It's raising our hands. Raising our hands is actually one of the most expressive acts that we can do as people. We're eating dinner the other night, and my 4-year-old son, Seth, raised his hands because he was excited about the food that we were eating. He was like, he did this. He's like, I'm so excited. And he didn't say those words, but he was excited about the food. And we do it at sporting events. We do it, you know, somebody scores, our team scores, and hands go up. You know, we do it when we're excited at musical events, all of these things. We raise our hands in gestures. It's one of the most expressive things that we can do. In worship, it is an act of devotion, excitement of what the Lord is doing. It is an act of surrender to the will of God. It is supplication to the Lord. It is repentance. It is an act of blessing, of intercession for yourself or for others. We can look at a few scriptures of what the Bible says about it. In Psalm 134:2, it says, "Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and praise the Lord." Or Lamentations 3:4, it says, "Let us lift up our hearts and our hands to God in heaven." Or Jesus does this over his disciples in Luke 24:50. It says, "When he had led them out of the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them." It is actually a blessing to the Lord for us to lift up our hands to him. In this way, it is for no one else. No one else is worthy of our blessing of lifting up our hands to him. I mean, sometimes the Lord asks us to do uncomfortable things. When it says to sing, I mean, in this context, when we sing, we could kind of sing under our breath and nobody can hear us, right? We're not stepping out too much. But when the Lord says to raise our hands, it could be uncomfortable. I mean, I'm not uncomfortable right now. My hands are, it's fine. I could do this for a while and be totally comfortable, but you're all staring at me. And, you know, what does Alex think with my hands raised? You know, but what's going on in here is a different story than physically what's going on in here, right? Do I look funny? Am I holding my hands weird? Am I flapping? Yeah. Did I remember to put on deodorant? Maybe that's an important one. If you can't remember, maybe stick to half mast for everybody's sake. But we are called to set aside our fear. The book of Timothy will tell us that God did not give us a spirit of fear. We're called to set aside our fear of man and our pride and submit ourselves fully before God as a physical sacrifice. It says that he is worthy and no one else. It's an act of surrender. God says, you need to give it all, and so I will give it all. It's devotion. It says, only you are worthy. It's a physical demonstration of our worship of him. To bless him, our God who has given us everything. To lift our hands so that our hearts actually follow. Sometimes there needs to be a physical act so that our hearts fall in line with what our bodies are doing. So that our lives fall in line with our worship of a God and a King who gave it all. Now, as we move on to the next physical expression of worship, it's not that I am any good at it. In fact, I'm probably more likely to end up on some worship fails video than anything else. And when I say the next expression is dancing, some of you are like, oh no, no thank you. Others are like, yes, let's go. This one's for me, it's about time. I mean, personally, rocking kind of back and forth behind my guitar, because I've got no coordination, is about as good as it gets. Or, you know, grooving on the drums, I can do that. But the concept of dancing is not an unholy one, and it's certainly not an unbiblical one. In fact, we can see that dancing traces its roots back to worship of something. In all cultures, in all places, in all peoples, dancing began as worship. What we see in the Israelites, when they escape the captivity of the Egyptians, Moses begins to sing this song of praise to the Lord, and Miriam actually responds. In Exodus 15:20, we see that Miriam the prophet, Aaron's sister, took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women followed her with timbrels and dancing. Their celebration looked like dancing. Or when David, when the Ark of the Covenant was returning to Jerusalem, we see in 2 Samuel 6, verses 14 and 15, it says, wearing a linen ephod, David dancing before the Lord with all his might, while he and all of Israel were bringing up the Ark of the Lord with shouts and the sound of trumpets. There's shouts. That's one we're not going to talk about specifically today, but that's an expression of worship that you can look into. And then Psalm 130, 11 and 12. You turned my wailing into dancing. You removed my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, that my heart may sing your praises and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will praise you forever. Dancing, even the rocking back and forth behind a guitar, whatever it looks like, it's an expression of joyful people who have been released from their bondages. Have you been released from your bondages? Yeah. It's not a rhetorical question. We have been released from our bondages. I know I have. Jesus paid it all for you and for me. If that's not a cause to dance joyously, I don't know what is. Dancing does not need to come with all the tradition, the world, or culture has heaped on it. It does not need to be sensual or have the connotations. It's also not for attention grabbing or a spectacle. It's for worship of the king. A king who, by the way, dances over us. Let's take a quick look. Zephaniah 3:17 says this, "The Lord your God is among you, a warrior who saves. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will be quiet in his love, and he will delight over you with singing." Okay, moving on to the next expression. Oh, you didn't see it? You don't read Hebrew. Darn, neither do I. Okay, if we take a look at the word rejoice, there's actually the Hebrew word, that one. I won't pronounce it because I'll butcher it. But the literal translation here is be glad while leaping into the air. Also known as dancing with joy. So I would anticipate that while we are worshiping the Lord, God himself is dancing and singing and celebrating over us, his creations. I mean, isn't that a sight to imagine? The Lord himself dancing and singing over us, his creations. That's pretty cool. And the last expression that we'll talk about this morning is one of the most commanded expressions of worship in the entire Bible. And it's one that is difficult and one that we don't do very often. To preface it, I'm going to read from Psalm 95, a significant chunk, because I feel like it sets the tone for it quite well. We'll start at verse 1. It says, "Come, let us shout, sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is a great God, great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker." To bow, to physically take everything that we are and everything that we have and lay it before the King. It takes laying our pride, our hearts, and our lives down before him. Bowing encapsulates everything about worship. It's the posture we take before a king. But it's more about our hearts than our physical action. Because if we won't align our hearts to our physical actions, then we've got some work to do in our hearts. But sometimes these physical acts of obedience can help to motivate our heart to the right place. Similarly to raising our hands, bowing is an act of surrender before the Lord. If we look at Jesus, the description of Jesus in Philippians chapter 2, it says this, "Who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. I mean, that is service. That is obedience. That is physical surrender. But it continues on to say this. It says, therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. Every tongue acknowledge that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. We bow in worship not for show, not for attention, not to draw eyes to us. We have an audience of one. The heart of worship says that Jesus took my penalty, my price on the cross. He proved my worth, my value on that cross. So I will serve him. I will bow before him. I will worship him because he is of value to me. So what can I do but express my worship to the one who redeemed my life from the grave through these acts of praise and worship?
Thank you for listening to this message from Hillside Church. We're so glad to be able to share God's word with you as part of our church family. Stay connected with us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at Hillside Airdrie. Send us an email at info@hillsideairdrie.ca. You can also reach out to our pastors via our website, hillsideairdrie.ca, by selecting our church in the main menu, then our leadership from the drop-down. Our vision is to help everyone know God, know his hope, know his purpose, and know his power together. As family, we go.